Blog Talk All right. Radio. Listen.
This is Larry Sparks with Voice of Destiny, and it is such a joy to have John Bevere on the line with us today. Now, about 10 years ago, a book was written that I believe is still having reverberation today. And the cool thing is this. So many people are asking this question, what's my purpose here on earth? What is my purpose? What has God put me here for? And the wonderful thing is I know that the Lord has raised up so many different men and women with different teachings to help answer that question, and they've done a great job. I want to propose to you guys who are listening, Driven by Eternity, the name of John's book that we're just going to be talking about today, that book is going to show you not only how to have purpose today, because I believe the Lord wants you to live with that sense of significance and purpose, but he wants you to know that what you do here actually matters and sends shockwaves throughout eternity. What you do right here, right now, today, I believe impacts eternity. So, John, such a blessing and an honor to have you on the program today.
Larry, it's a complete joy, and it's an honor for me to be on your program. I have such a deep respect and love for all the people there at Destiny Image. I'm so grateful for what you guys have done to build the kingdom of God.
Oh, goodness. Well, it is a joy. And truth be told, back when Destiny started in 1983, the mandate of the publishing house was simply to publish the prophet. And I really believe this book, I don't use that word prophetic or prophet lightly, but I believe this is one of those wake-up calls to the body of Christ. So let me ask you this question as we dive in. How did you get the word? This book, I know, was mandated by a word of the Lord. How did that come, and what did you feel like the urgency was to write it then and really re-release it now? I'm very curious.
Well, you know, that's two different questions, so let me answer the first one.
Sure.
The first one, you know, I've made this agreement with the Lord that I will never write a book unless he specifically speaks to me about a book. And because, first of all, I hated writing so much in high school.
Yeah.
And so it was early in the morning, about 5:30 in the morning. I was in walking out on a golf course. It was dark outside. And I remember exactly where I was. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write a book on the judgment seat of Christ. And I remember my response to the Lord was, how can I do that? I've maybe preached 20 minutes on the judgment seat all my life. How can I write a chapter, let alone a book? And, of course, the Lord said nothing because he will not argue with his children.
Yeah.
So I went and I got every scripture in the Bible from 7 different translations that had the word judgment, eternity, rewards, losses, heaven, and hell. And Larry, I ended up with a notebook that was probably 3/4 of an inch thick, filled with, you know, small type scriptures. And I did nothing but meditate on those scriptures for a solid month before I even wrote a word. And so when I wrote this book 10 years ago, I have to say I've written 19 books now. This book impacted me more personally than any book I'd ever written, and the testimonies that we receive from this book have been more profound than any book that I've written. So that really caused me, you know, to kind of, you know, isolate this book as an extremely important book. Well, then you say, John, why would you re-release it? Last December, which would be 10 months ago, I was speaking to pastors and leaders down in Brazil. And this was only the leaders and the pastors of this church network. And I remember going down to Goiânia, Brazil, which is one of the largest cities in Brazil. And they drove me to the arena, and there was 12,500 pastors and leaders only in this arena. And their passion was beyond description. And I remember the next day I was at lunch with 8 of the top leaders of this church organization. And I said to them, how many Christians do you have in your churches? Because there were several hundred churches represented by those leaders. And they said, we have over 300,000 people in our churches. And I was like, wow, that's great. And then I said, when did your whole church network start? And they said, it started with one family in 1999.
Wow.
And I about dropped my fork. And I said, wait a minute. In 16 years, you've built a church network of over 300,000 people, starting with one family in a first world nation. They said, exactly. I said, how in the world do you do that? Now, I thought their answer was going to be, it's because of our connect groups, our fellowship groups.
Sure.
And without even batting an eye, without even hesitating, Larry, this leader who spoke the best English said to me, he said, John, it's because we teach our people on eternal rewards and judgment. We teach on the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, I've been to many American churches and conferences. He said, because I speak such good English and I get invited up there a lot. He said, you Americans don't teach on eternal rewards and judgment. He said, therefore, our believers down here see life through an eternal perspective. He said, whereas you American Christians, you see life through a 70 or 80 year. Larry, when we have an eternal perspective as opposed to a 70 or 80 year, we will make decisions differently. We will pursue things differently. We will set goals differently. We will endure things that we wouldn't necessarily endure with only a 70 or 80 year perspective. So that is why I felt when I came back, that sparked me. I looked at my team and I said, for the first time, we're going to re-release a book. Out of 19 books that I've written, we're going to re-release this one. And that's why I re-released Driven by Eternity. And it's done quite well. It's actually a number one bestseller in Christian category on Amazon. So yeah. It's only 2 weeks old. So I'm really happy that people are getting it, because it's my hope, Larry, that pastors will start teaching this, because it is an elementary teaching of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about it, Larry, what do you get in elementary school? You learn how to read, write, add, subtract, multiply, divide. Can any of us imagine building a high school or college education, not knowing how to read, not knowing how to write, add, subtract, multiply, or divide? It's impossible. Yet how many Christians in America are building their Christian life not knowing how to read, write, add, or subtract in the faith?
Wow. Wow. And interestingly enough, because I go back to the passage in Hebrews where it talks about all of these different elementary teachings, and it's fascinating how many of those that we either consider those to be the deeper life teachings or they're just completely ignored. But I'm thinking, of based on what you're saying, my goodness, if we are not building on what is listed there, and that's just the author of Hebrews giving us those, I imagine that we're dealing with a rather shallow faith. But it sounds like that's what the gentleman in Brazil was acknowledging in the Western world, in the United States, that we're dealing with a bit of a shallow kind of faith, shallow Christianity.
Well, you know, Larry, you know how sometimes we in American church, we have struggled with trying to get people involved.
Yeah.
So what we did, and this was clever because this is godly. This is not ungodly.
Yes.
We focused in on the relational aspect, and we focused in on the fun aspect of what it's like to be a community. And don't get me wrong, I never, ever want to knock that, because it is not good that man's alone. God even said that. However, have not given the proper fuel to our American churches that really causes passion to arise. I mean, what we do with the cross determines where we're going to spend eternity. We all know that, heaven or hell. Every Christian knows that. But what every Christian doesn't know is this: the way we live as believers determines how we're going to spend eternity. Because Jesus will examine our lives. The Bible is so clear about this. He will examine, he will judge every single Christian. He's going to judge non-believers. That's called the white throne judgment. But there's a believer's judgment seat in which Jesus is going to judge every Christian. Now, anybody that's listening to us right now, I want to alleviate any fear immediately. He's not going to judge us for our sins, because our sins have been eradicated by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
What he is going to judge us for is our works, words, thoughts, intentions, and motives as Christians. Now, somebody says, wait a minute. Even our motives, yes, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said, don't judge anybody before the time until the Lord comes and reveals the deepest secrets and private motives of each one, then each one's praise will come from God. God will not be giving any sinner praise.
Wow.
The only ones he can be talking about here is believers. So he's going to examine our works, words, motives, intentions, and then he's going to make decisions, because the word judgment simply means a decision resulting from an investigation. He's going to make decisions over our lives, and as a result of those decisions, we'll either receive rewards or we will suffer losses. And the Bible is very clear that the rewards we can potentially receive to the losses we can potentially suffer is anywhere from reigning beside Christ forever and ever and ever, making decisions, vision casting for the future, or burned up yet being barely saved as through
wow.
fire.
Wow.
And that's
wow.
a pretty vast reward.
Yeah.
Or a range, what? I should say.
Well, and it's interesting, though, because if we live mindful of those things, and I want to encourage those listening, because this is something that it almost feels like a new teaching for so many people. But I want to encourage you. Number one, it's there in the book. It's there in the Bible, in the book Driven by Eternity. John gives scripture after scripture reinforcing this. This is not some proof text that was taken out of context. This is something that I really believe was mandated to John to write by the Lord. And it is all there reinforced by scripture. This is what I want to encourage you. So many Christians, I'm not talking about so many people, so many believers, so many people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit, live just as aimlessly and as purposeless as people who don't know God, who are disconnected from God. That ought not be, and I really believe the teaching that John is talking about right now, living mindful of eternal rewards. Now, John, immediately somebody might come back and, you know, this is a perspective that I understand. They might say, okay, living mind, being motivated by eternal rewards, should I be motivated by rewards? That sounds a little bit like, okay, I'm in this just for what I can get. And yet I think, John, I'm going to let you answer that. I think immediately the scripture, half of the definition of faith is believing that God is and that he's actually a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So can you for a moment just explain why should we be mindful of eternal rewards?
You know, Larry, I'm really enjoying this interview because you're asking such great questions. And, yeah, I on my Facebook, you know, I've got about 750,000 followers, and
yeah.
I talked about this recently on my Facebook, and I had a lot of people come back to me and say, hey, I don't live for rewards. I live out of my love for Jesus.
Yeah.
And that sounds like such a phenomenal response until you go to the scripture.
Mm.
When you go to the scripture, you look at the Apostle John, who is living in his 90s. Now, if there's anybody who really loved Jesus in Bible times, he's the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that leans his head on Jesus' breast. Jesus is very close to him. He constantly talks about his love for Jesus. But in his 90s, he pens these words in 2 John verse 8. He said, see that you do not lose the things you work for, but that we may receive a full reward. So here is John saying, live in such a way that you're going to get the full reward at the judgment seat. Now, for there to be a full reward means there's a partial reward and a no reward scenario.
Yeah.
He's not saying, hey, love Jesus, and whatever the reward is, it doesn't matter. Then you look at the Apostle Paul. 4 years before he was beheaded, he wrote the book of Corinthians. And in this book, It was 8 years before he was beheaded. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is he's well advanced in his faith. He's a father in the church, clearly. But Paul the Apostle makes this statement. He says, run your race in such a way that you are going to get the prize.
Yeah.
So Paul says, live in a way. Now, I got this really solidified about 2 years ago when God gave me a vision.
Mm.
I had a vision. It was so clear. I saw the armies of Jesus, the armies of heaven, marching into the New Jerusalem. The streets were made of pure gold, and the armies are marching in on these streets. And you know what they're doing? They're bringing Jesus his rewards.
Yeah.
They are literally walking up this there's a throne high and lifted up. and they're walking up these stairs, almost like you would see the armies of Rome when they walked, presented Caesar his rewards when they conquered countries.
Yeah.
And they're walking up these high steps, and they're bringing Jesus his rewards. Now, what's his reward? The father said to the son, ask me for the nations as your inheritance.
Yeah.
So they're bringing him his rewards, lost souls that have become saved, right?
Yeah.
And in influence on people's lives. So they're bringing him the rewards, and there were masses of people, Larry, on the sidewalks cheering and applauding for these armies as they were coming in. The Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, son, do you want to be one of the citizens on the sidewalk cheering the soldiers, or do you want to be one of the soldiers bringing Jesus his rewards?
Wow, wow.
And I said, oh, my goodness, I want to be one of those soldiers. That is why John the Apostle and Paul the Apostle both say towards the end of their lives, run your race in such a way that you're going to get the prize. Why? Because we get to give that prize back to Jesus.
Wow, wow, wow. No, John, well, as we get ready to finish up here, one of the most impacting things in my life, and I use the analogy to this day from the book, when I read the book 10 years ago, I mean, again, letting our Voice of Destiny audience know, this is a book that will stick with you because it helps create a perspective in your mind where you're mindful of not just the reward, not just impact that you have today and in this life and the life to come. And just, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, run your race. And the key is running the race that God has assigned you. Yes, you, those of you who are listening, not you running the race that you perceive you're supposed to run. Because I think sometimes when we get into eternal reward and you know, Christian talk, as some would call it, people think, well, in order for me to do this, in order for me to get a full reward, do I need to be a pastor? Do I need to be a missionary? Do I need to do this, that, and the other? Everything kind of under the banner of the church sphere of influence. I love what you shared about, and I don't know if you have time to even give a very brief picture of this. On the day when people come to receive a reward, there will be those who come, they hear their name coming forward, and the Lord will be looking, hey, you know, where's businessman Sam? And it's like, hey, I'm Sam, but I ended up becoming a pastor. Could you share that just very briefly? I think that's one of the most impacting things about the book, and it's powerful.
Well, you know, we put that on our Facebook. We actually had my team make a video about it.
Really?
To show that what we're going to be judged for in regard to our callings. Now, I see two major differences, or two major categories, I should say, that Jesus is going to reward us for. Number one, our personal influence. And this is illustrated by the two parables in the Gospels, the parable of the minus, the parable of the talents. Number one is our personal influence on people. How do we influence the waiter? How do we influence our children, our wife, our husband, and on and on and on. That's one area. The second area is, did we fulfill what we were created to do? Because Ephesians 2:10 says that God prepared our works that we are to do beforehand. How far beforehand? Psalm 139:16, David says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. He said, you saw me before I was born. Before I was born. I'm going to emphasize, before I was born. Every day of my life recorded in your book. So God wrote a book about each of our lives.
Wow.
And he said, every moment was recorded in that book before a single day began. If you look at the book of Daniel, you find out that at the judgment, the books are open. What books are open? God's going to open up our book that he wrote about our life before we were born, and he's going to say, let's see how you lived out your life in comparison.
Yeah.
So you may have a guy that went into ministry but ended up becoming a pastor. Excuse me, went into ministry but was called to be a businessman. You may have a woman who went into business world, but she was called to be an evangelist in Asia. Mm. And I met a guy last year that he's a Navy SEAL instructor in Hawaii. And he really wanted to have dinner with me. And I said, look, any Navy SEAL or Navy SEAL instructor I'm having dinner with. And I'll never forget when he looked at me and he said, John, I love Jesus as a boy, but I really didn't see God like I should. He said, I wanted to serve God as a young man. So I went to 2 years of Bible school after graduating from high school. Then I was interning at a church and I was accused of sleeping with a girl. They threw me out. It was 3 years of work just gone.
Wow.
And he said, John, I'm really seeking God after 3 years of work just dissolved. And the Lord said, I didn't call you to ministry. I called you to military.
Hmm.
And now, after he's 19 years as a Navy SEAL, he started telling me stories that were mind-blowing of how God had delivered him as a Navy SEAL time and time again. So, yes, I believe that in regard to our callings, there will be people that try to get on a speaking tour, but Jesus is going to say, I called you to raise three children, not be on a speaking tour. And things like this, it's and I talk extensively in this book, Driven by Eternity, on how to find out what we're created to do, the work that God prepared beforehand.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Well, again, John, I know we only got a few minutes with you today. It is such a joy, always an honor to connect with you. And I really, I mean, every one of your books, and I say this completely transparently, I don't bring people on this show that I don't have high respect for. Every one of your books has really been a word in due season for the church and for all of our audience out there, Driven by Eternity. Once again, there are not many books where it's like where it makes that kind of prophetic sense to re-release it. Usually there's a marketing purpose behind it, and that's fine, we do that. But I do believe there's a prophetic urgency bringing this book back to the forefront. We see it resonating already very well with people, and I do believe, get a hold of this book, Driven by Eternity. You can go to drivenbyeternity.com. There's a lot of great resources there as well. It is going to leave a mark on you, and I believe for the questions that you have, God, what have you called me to? What's my assignment? What's my purpose? I believe this book will actually help direct you and move you towards the very things that you were put on this earth to do, because those very things are meant to have significance beyond this life and eternity. So, John, thank you so much for being with us.
Hey, it's a pleasure, Larry. And, again, thank you for all that you do.
Oh, goodness. No problem. You have a great day.
Larry, you have the best of days, and I can't wait to see you touching heaven. At the conference, if you're going to be there.
Yep. I'll see you. I'll see you next year.
Okay. Make sure you say hey to me. Okay, buddy. Bye. All right. Bye now.